Hello, folks. Welcome to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. Bill Gallagher back with you again this morning. First off, for the weather report, it is beautiful here in Daytona Beach, Florida, at our studio, looking out the window. About 72 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Want to give a shout out to our friends at Daytona Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, for their loyal support through the years, particularly for the Race to Stop Suicide. And our driver, Daniel Dye, will be racing on May 6th. We'll be up there with him at Darlington, South Carolina. You don't want to miss this. Craftsman Surrey Truck Race. Very, very cool stuff. He's doing a great job. Got another very special guest is back for probably our third or fourth time, Mr. Dave Jenkins, President of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know this is probably our third or fourth go-around, but boy, the timing could not be perfect. What's going on with all these electric bills?
Oh, man. Well, as of the start of this month, Florida Power and Light customers' electric bills are going up another roughly $15 a month. And as you know, as we've talked about before, this comes on the heels of that huge base rate increase that took effect last year. And if you look at it back to like 2021, just a couple years ago, electric bills for FPL customers have jumped from an average of $99 a month in 2021 to more than $140 today. And a lot of people have, you know, anecdotal examples of a lot more. I just talked to a radio host this morning who said his bill went up from like $140 to $500.
Oh, geez.
So it's crazy. And yeah, and you know, I know FPL has a great PR machine, and they always like to talk about their rates. Well, what people don't realize is that Floridians, even before this latest rate hike, have higher electric bills than people living in California, New York, or Washington, D.C. So, you know, you're in the Sunshine State, and yet you have this monopoly utility that just keeps jacking up prices because, you know, the Public Utility Commission rubber stamps every rate hike they come up with.
Boy, Dave, that's such valuable information, and, you know, it really couldn't come at a worse time. We're facing skyrocketing inflation. Gas prices are out of control. Food is enormously expensive. One thing I noticed in the last several months is the number of semi-trucks on the road has probably tripled. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, how could these guys afford to pay fuel at the price that it is? And it comes right back to the consumer, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, oil, and which gasoline is made out of, and natural gas both have something in common. They're global commodities that are affected by events all over the world. And so, you know, part of the problem we have with FPL, and this latest rate increase was, you know, in large part due to rising natural gas prices, is that 70% of their electricity is generated using natural gas. And while, you know, that might have made sense back when we didn't export our natural gas and we had to use it here, so the prices stayed low, but the gas industry, you know, decided they wanted to pursue those more lucrative European markets, and so they started doing liquefied natural gas, you know, LNG. So there's LNG export facilities popping up all over the country, and we're shipping more of this gas overseas. What that means is that our price is based on what Europeans are willing to pay for gas. It's no longer, you know, based on supply and demand here exclusively. So FPL went all in on natural gas generation at a time when anybody, you know, with half the sense God gave a billy goat, could look forward and see that natural gas prices were going to start going up. But they didn't care. And the reason they didn't care is that they knew that if they could pass every penny of that cost onto their customers, and their customers had no choice but to take it.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, Dave, what I think of lots of times is, let's suppose somebody had a $200 electric bill. Okay, I'm just taking that as a baseline. Well, they're renting that electricity for $200, but they have to make $266 in their job, pay 25% tax on it, and then they end up with 200. So it isn't just the 200 that they're paying. They have to make substantially more money, pay taxes, and these are after-tax dollars. So one of the solutions that we talk about frequently is the ability for people to use solar power to offset some of these higher prices. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, so the great thing about solar is whether you're talking rooftop solar or whether you're talking utility scale solar, is that, you know, the fuel itself is free. You know, I mean, that price is not going to go up. It doesn't matter what happens in Europe. It doesn't matter what happens in Asia. And when, for utility scale solar, when you when they make these power purchase agreements and a utility agrees to buy that electricity, you know, those prices are really low right now. They're like $20 a megawatt hour, you know, some as low as $15 a megawatt hour. That price is guaranteed for 20 years because they already know what the cost is. You got your upfront cost, and then the fuel's for free, so you're just basically spreading out that upfront cost over 20 years. And it's pretty much the same when homeowners put rooftop solar panels on their home. You know, you invest that upfront, but you're getting it to pay for itself over a course of time. And so what that gives you is very stable, predictable energy prices. You know what your bill's going to be next month. You know what your bill's going to be 5 years from now. But when FPNL is, you know, all in on natural gas, which is a global commodity, it's just like the prices at the pump. You don't know from one month to the other what your electric bill is going to be or your gas bill is going to be, your natural gas bill. So you can't plan for that. You can't budget for that. With all this other inflation stuff going on, this is a wild card in all that. You know, it's more of a wild card than the price of eggs. So because it can go up in a split second because of, you know, one country invading another, or one country deciding they're going to use more gas and you know, shut down their nuclear plants. I mean, anything. So, and you know, the gas industry is going to sell gas to the people who are willing to pay the most for it. So that also affects the supply and demand. If they're paying, if they're paying $8 a million BTU in Germany or something, then that's going to be the priority of where they ship that gas to, because they're not going to decide, oh, we're not going to take eight, we're going to sell it here for $2.35 or something, you know.
Yeah, you know, we're really fortunate to live in the great state of Florida down here, Dave, but you know, there's always two sides of the coin, and we've got 1,000 people moving into this area, I guess, a day, they're talking about, and every one of these people needs energy, right? Not only for their, you know, for their homes and stuff, but also for a lot of these electric vehicles. I mean, there is no end to the amount of energy that has to be produced. I think what we really need is we need to see, you know, an agreement between the utility companies and industry where they're partners helping their mutual customers instead of competitors, because we get so much pushback on people doing residential solar or commercial solar. I just think it's unfounded. I'd like your opinion.
We certainly shouldn't have any pushback on solar, because it's one way for folks in Florida to become more energy independent, to become less dependent on the utilities, to save money, and you know, you're seeing that pushback coming from odd sources. Like, for example, you know, you have insurance companies that are refusing to insure homes with rooftop solar. And I can guarantee you that somewhere in that decision, you know, there's an FPL lobbyist or lawyer whispering in their ear that for some reason they shouldn't insure home solar outfit that's more than a certain amount of kilowatts, because you know they want people dependent on them, and they have a captive customer base. You know, you can't You can't say, I don't like FPL, I'm going to go get my power from Duke. So you really, your only option right now in Florida, unless they start introducing the free market back in the utility sector, is to produce your own. And they see that as something people will reach for, and they're trying to do everything they can to cut it off, just like, you know, that legislation that luckily the governor vetoed last year that would have basically ended rooftop solar in the state of Florida.
Yeah, we're still thankful for that. Always on the lookout for other attacks. You never know when that's going to happen. You know, Dave and I, we may have talked about this before, but I've got to bring it up again. This reminds me so much of back when Rockefeller had the oil business and selling kerosene to light all the lamps in New York City and everything like that. And the concept of electricity came along, and they tried to squash it, saying it was dangerous. You probably recall the story on that. They actually used an electric chair as an example of how dangerous electricity was. And the experiment failed, but the reality is it's almost like we're seeing that today. There's such a desperation to keep the monopoly that whatever it takes, they're going to do it. And I just think it's destructive all the way around.
Yeah, you see this built-in resistance to change because, you know, if oil or gas or coal is what you've been making money off of, then you're trying to protect that golden goose as long as you can. And the problem is when you introduce the whole monopoly concept into the mix, then them doing that is actually forcing people to pay higher energy bills because the market right now has changed. The market now favors solar, wind, nuclear, geothermal, all those are coming in most cases. It depends on which nuclear plant you're talking about to some degree, but all those are coming in cheaper than natural gas and coal. So it's very clear what's in the best interest of the consumer, the homeowner, the business owner who has to pay electric bills out every month. But that's not the same thing that's the interest of the gas industry or the monopoly utilities. That's why we would love to see the free market back in the utility sector, because if you had like Duke and FPL competing with each other for customers, they would have an incentive to try to keep those energy prices low, and they'd probably diversify their energy mix to the cheapest sources of electricity. But as long as they can pass that extra energy cost onto their customers, they have no incentive to pick the cheapest energy source. They have no incentive to diversify their energy sources so that they don't have all their eggs in one basket. And it's a broken system. It's got to be fixed.
Man, Dave, it's always so much fun to talk to you. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, you fly into, you're going to relocate to Texas, and you land in Amarillo, wherever you land. You know, the first thing they ask is what the area you want to live, what schools are there good, and which electric company would you want. That's free market trade. That's the way it should be everywhere. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we tried to get rid of monopolies several times throughout history. I mean, if you look at Theodore Roosevelt, you know, he busted up the robber barons and the monopolies back at the turn of the century. And the reason he did that is he saw it as a threat to capitalism. And he saw it as something that actually, you know, these companies have too much power and start sticking it to people and people getting fed up. He thought that was a risk to make socialism seem more attractive, because people would be mad at the big companies and think that that's because of capitalism. Well, it's not because of capitalism. It's because these monopolies are able to avoid capitalism.
Boy, Dave, geez, man, this is a fantastic subject. We're going to have to take a short break, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back. If somebody knocks on your door or a telemarketer's on your phone, you know it's not us. Hi, folks. This is Bill Gallagher with SolarFit. If you've been thinking about solar, we want you to knock on our door or call us. SolarFit's been a part of this community for over 47 years, and our customers love us. Couldn't say it if it wasn't true. Now's the time to go solar for your home or business. Give us a call at 445-7606.
SolarFit your life and set yourself free with the sun's free energy.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. I'm speaking with my friend Dave Jenkins, President, Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. Dave, welcome back to the show. And one thing I did, you know, this, I hardly ever do this, but this subject was so important that I jumped into it without allowing you to tell your story. How in the world did you end up in this position? Walk us through your where you grew up and got here.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, grew up in the foothills of Appalachia, and majored in political science, and worked up on the Hill with for a U.S. senator for a while. And you know, I'm an outdoors person. I love to backpack and hike and kayak and canoe and all those things. And the whole concept of being a conservative and caring about conservation and stewardship. You know, Russell Kirk, a conservative philosopher, said, you know, there's nothing more conservative than conservation. And he was right. And so trying to marry that interest with my profession eventually led me here. And the whole idea of dealing with utilities and stuff is that, you know, when you're conservative and you're looking for answers to environmental problems, you lean towards solutions that work with the market, not solutions that swim upstream against the market, you know, not like the Green New Deal or whatever. So the thing is that once we start seeing that the energy market is changing to favor cleaner sources of energy, it's no longer a choice of, oh, well, we can clean up the environment and if we want to pay more for electricity. No, it's you can clean up the environment and pay less for electricity, then you need to lean into that. But the thing is well, it sounds like common sense to lean into it, but there's so many forces, like we were just talking about, pushing the other way because it's in their personal interest or their company's interest or their special interest to keep the status quo, even if it's costing us extra money every month on our electric bill. So this whole thing of, you know, challenging the monopoly utilities and promoting clean energy has come in line with promoting the free market. And if you ask me, that's where conservatives need to be, is pushing for common sense solutions that work with the market. And, you know, we can't, as conservatives, say, oh, we're in favor of the free market when it favors coal and gas, but suddenly we're against the free market when it favors solar, wind, and nuclear. I mean, that's not being consistent. So, so you know, that's the path I took to get here. And energy and environment is so intertwined and interrelated that you can't really separate the two.
No, I agree. And I know we had this conversation before when Teddy Roosevelt actually became the president of the United States, walking through my hometown of upstate New York when McKinley was assassinated. So I always thought of Teddy Roosevelt as being the ultimate conservative with environmental views. I grew up with that thought, and I don't know how everything got kind of hijacked and turned around, but we all need to be on the same program. It doesn't matter if you're conservative or if you're a liberal. There's something in it for everyone if you do the right thing. Here's a question, Dave, I've got for you. We talked about this issue with insurance popping up, and we're starting to hear this now and then. It's so nonsensical because the argument that if you have net metering, you can't have insurance. Net metering is nothing more than a bidirectional meter. It does nothing, has no bearing on insurance at all. What is your idea on a solution to cure this where we can educate the public to this?
Yeah, well, the public, I think the public knows. I mean, I don't think the public's the problem. I think the problem with this is, you know, these utility folks trying to get the insurance industry to help them keep people hooked, you know, on a monopoly utility, and keep them dependent on them to provide all their power or most of their power. Because, you know, this insurance thing question only comes up usually when someone's solar setup is above a certain, you know, kilowatt or, you know, in terms of power producing. And there's nothing different about, you know, a setup that produces more power or a setup that produces less from a standpoint of a homeowner's insurance policy. And like you said, there's no real difference even at the meter, because you're just putting in something that allows the electricity to flow both ways. So it's nonsensical. I mean, actually, insurance companies should be happy that you got homeowners having stuff like this. It makes them more attentive to the condition of their home and to making sure they maintain things properly. And, you know, look at what happened back in when Hurricane Ian came through. You know, the people who had the least damage, didn't lose power, had all that stuff working. It was those solar communities,
right,
in that area. They came out unscathed because the power lines were buried. Their solar panels stayed put on the house in crazy high winds. And so they're sitting there watching the news about the hurricane on television when almost everybody else in the path of the hurricane was sitting in the dark.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is a story to be told. You know, our concern is, some of the damage that's being done by, you know, insinuating that this will harm your homeowner's insurance. We actually have multiple insurance companies that will insure you, but there's a few outliers out there that are using propaganda, like you say. We really need to make that public and people understand that we don't want that to be a deterrent to people saving money.
Well, and what's the deal with, the legislature and the governor? They seem to be completely asleep at the wheel when it comes to protecting people from high homeowner insurance policies. I mean, it's not just, the solar thing is crazy, but it's also, people, if you don't replace your roof every so many years or it could be anything. And your insurance rates could double or triple, or you could be dropped from a policy for doing nothing bad. I don't know of another state in the country that has such a wacky insurance problem as Florida does. So, you have an insurance commissioner, you have a legislature that can pass laws, you have a governor who can sign bills. Why the heck are they not doing something to fix the insurance problem in Florida?
Well, I wish I could answer that, Dave, but it really does. It all really comes back to the political nature of this. It comes back to the legislature. I still can't get over the fact that last year both the House and the Senate almost unanimously voted to try to kill solar. And the only saving grace is when Governor DeSantis vetoed it. I mean, it just made no sense. And these people are really, really smart people. And I'm going, what's going on here? I think you know the answer.
Yeah, well, I'm very pleased by what the governor did last year. And the thing is, we need to realize, though, when we're looking at these high electricity rates, is that the Public Service Commission, which rubber stamps these rate increases, are all appointed by the governor. So I think, if I was appointed by the governor, I think the governor would have a little bit of sway over how I thought about things. So I would hope that the governor would lay down the law and tell these commissioners that, if you want to keep this position, your job is to protect ratepayers, not the out-of-control monopoly. And, he's been focusing time on Disney. but Disney might suck you dry when you visit the Magic Kingdom. But FPL is doing it to you every single month from the comfort of your own living room. So to me, that deserves a little bit of attention.
Well, I have a lot of respect for Governor DeSantis, and I hope he's listening in right now. He's a pretty busy guy, but maybe he could take a minute to speak to this, because it is so important, especially now with the way things are going with the economy. It's just crazy out there. I've never seen anything like it. You know, they jumped the price of gas 22 cents a gallon yesterday here in town. And I'm going, where did that come from? Where is that coming from?
Yeah, well, you know, gasoline prices always increase heading into summer. That's it's always amazed me how, you know, gas prices, if the price of oil changes, the gas higher, the price of gas shoots up before you wake up the next morning. All the signs are changed on the service station. But when the price of oil comes down, you're waiting for days before that that price to come down, or maybe weeks. You know, there's a lot of gaming of systems around here, and as consumers, we need to start pushing back a little bit.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to our friends at Jeep Beach. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it is a huge event, and that, I think that's what's driving some of the cost of fuel here. It's they're expecting 275,000 people for this event. They bring their Jeeps down in front, and I go, oh God, 22 cents more for to put fuel in your Jeep, which incidentally, in full disclosure, I have a Jeep. Crazy.
Well, they're not known for getting the best gas mileage, although they're making electric ones now, I think. So.
Well, I've got my bicycle on the back of the Jeep, so if I run out of gas, I'll just keep on going, you know?
Yeah.
But Dave, you are such a, you know, breath of sunshine talking to you. Every time I learn so much, I really appreciate it. We're almost out of time here. Is there anything that you can tell the listening audience on how they could tune in and learn more about what you're doing?
Probably the best place to start is our website at www.conservativestewards.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and cover this issue pretty extensively through our blogs, and we get published a lot in newspapers, and we pass along interesting stories about this and updates about this all through the week, and keep people up to date. So, I would urge people to get plugged in and then to be very active in letting your opinions be known to your lawmakers and the governor.
Great, great stuff, Dave. Thank you so much. Well, folks, this is Mr. Dave Jenkins. We're speaking to again. Wonderful, wonderful comments about how we can be more conservative, if you will, and protect our environment at the same time. Dave, thanks for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, folks, we're going to sign off, and we'll see you next week. Have a good weekend.
SolarFit Renewable Energy Radio Show, paid for by SolarFit.